The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Deuteronomy 34, and I want you to turn there, please, as we take a look again at a place where Moses shows up and God shows up too, and they do some talking together, and God says some things about Moses and does something marvelously wonderful for Moses. And again, sort of as an umbrella to stick over the whole thing, I want us to be thinking today about the ascended Christ. What does it mean that Jesus Christ ascended bodily into heaven and even now is there in glorified flesh and bone at the right hand of the Father interceding for us? The thing that I notice about Deuteronomy 34 is that it has a heading, at least in my study Bible, called The Death of Moses. Do you see something like that? And so we're going to see a little story here about Moses and how Moses points to Jesus. So let me read for you, 34 and following. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. And there the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. And look at verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." Let's stop there just for a second. Do you remember why Moses was not allowed to see the land? That is to say, set foot in it. He disobeyed God. Do you remember what the instance was? Yeah. There were at least a couple of instances where gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And the first time that it happened, God told Moses to strike the rock and water came forth. In Sunday school when I was a kid, it was almost a sweet little fountain, like a little drinking fountain or something. I remember that. But I think when you're talking about a whole slew of people, it was probably a gushing geyser, at least in my spiritual imagination. The second time, though, God said, "I want you to speak to the rock," and Moses didn't do it. You find this story in Deuteronomy 32. But one of the interesting things about that passage is he says, "You broke faith with me, and you're going to have to be punished for it." The original language there in that description, when God says to him, "You broke faith with me," is the same used for adultery. You committed adultery. You broke faith. You broke covenant with me. And so there has to be a penalty for that. And so I will let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. Verse number 5. And Moses, circle this, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab. Isn't that tender? In the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Eyesight and strength. Why do you suppose God had preserved his eyesight and his strength? I think so too. Don says, so he could climb the mountain. Yes, after trudging around the wilderness for all of those years, contending with Israel. And by the way, remember that Israel means contends with God. Moses is right there. He's their leader. And he's 100 and how much? And his eyes are not weak and his strength is not gone. Why did God do that? For a God-glorifying reason. for a God-glorifying grace. Because he wanted Moses, in his grace, even after he broke faith with God, to trudge up that mountain. Can you see him in your spiritual imagination trudging up that mountain? It's a lofty place. And God says, this is it. You've got strength and eyesight to see, at least from this place, what I have in mind. Moses was 120 years old, verse 7, when he died, and yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. For, I'm adding this, there is a season for everything. Isn't it fascinating, too, that the ones who grieved for Moses were not the original ones who came out of Egypt? This is a new generation. And this marvelous leader that God has given them has now died, and they are sorrowful and mourning. Verse 9, now Joshua, God has something else in mind, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Now focus right here just for a second, 10 and 12, right in there. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses. So circle that, prophet. Moses is a prophet whom the Lord knew face to face. Marvelous. Who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt. Remember those? To Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. The things that jump out there to me are prophet. What else? Signs and wonders, mighty power. And you know what else I notice in that? The face-to-face bit? You might not have ever noticed it before. But did you notice that the knowledge seems to be mostly emphasized as that God has toward Moses? Did you ever notice? Where's that verse again? Since then, no prophet has risen, verse 10, in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face-to-face. Precious, God's knowledge of him. And until Jesus, no one was superior to Moses. I want you to look at Hebrews. Can you turn over to Hebrews, please? I know it's not listed on the thingamajiggy, but I want you to turn there anyway. Find a friend to help you find Hebrews. Keep your finger at Deuteronomy. We'll probably come, or borrow a neighbor's finger. We'll probably come back there in just a minute. But in the third chapter of Hebrews, I have another little heading. And in my study Bible, the heading there says, what? Jesus greater than Moses. Here, the writer of Hebrews is contrasting Jesus with Moses. We just read about the death of Moses. We just read about the wonderful knowledge that God had of him. We just read about how he was a prophet and performed great signs and wonders. And now the writer of Hebrews compares Jesus to Moses and says, you know what? Here is one who is greater. Listen as I read just a bit, okay? Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. Wow, the writer of Hebrews is talking about first things. Yeah. You remember Moses, God's servant. Let me tell you about one who was before and is greater than Moses, God's servant. In fact, he calls him servant in just a moment. Verse number 3, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. And now we have the writer of Hebrews connecting God with Jesus. Look at verse 5. Moses was faithful as a servant, there's that word again, in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as what? A son over God's house. And we are his house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Moses is the servant, just like we saw in Deuteronomy. If you go back to Deuteronomy one more time, did you save your place there? Where do you see that little place where it talks about him being servant? Yep. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab as the Lord had said. So here's some things I notice in comparing Jesus with Moses. The writer of Hebrews has already said, hey, the builder of the house is greater than the house itself. Jesus is the ultimate prophet. Why? Here's some things I notice. Moses committed a kind of adultery when he broke faith with God, and so he was an imperfect servant to the Father and a flawed husband to the people. Moses was flawed. Moses was not perfect. He committed a kind of adultery. By the way, did you ever think about your sin against God as being a kind of adultery? We are in covenant with God the Father, like we are in covenant, married spouses, with one another. And our covenant with the Father is, at least in this instance, viewed by the Father as a breaking of covenant, even on par with adultery. And so therefore, as marvelous a leader as Moses was, he was a kind of a flawed leader, for sure. Lots of instances of that. And by the way, I take great comfort in that. But the ascended Jesus never sinned. He never broke faith with God. He was the perfect son to the Father and a kind of flawless husband, even the ultimate bridegroom to his people. Thank God for the ascended Christ, who is the ultimate bridegroom to his people. Here's another one. Moses is Israel's greatest prophet, and he dies right on Canaan's doorstep. He wasn't able to go over into that good land. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. But in God's grace, he's allowed to see it from afar. But the ascended Jesus is the ultimate prophet, stay with me, who goes right into that land which has been promised to us. And hallelujah, the ascended Lord Jesus, right now in his resurrected body, is in the promised land. And as a kind of down payment, is surety for us that we too will go to that place. Moses didn't get to go, Jesus did. Because he is the ultimate prophet. Here's another one. Before he died, Moses was given a lofty place with good eyes and strength to view part of the earthly domain of God and see what the Father had in mind for his people. Think about that. He trudged up that mountain, can't possibly actually see unless it happened in some sort of mysterious way that we don't understand, which I admit is possible. But at least if we're thinking about it in the physical sense, he could see a long distance and God's showing him the land. But it's only part. It's only a small section of the domain of God. It's only a piece of the puzzle. He gets to see, if I could use a Pauline metaphor, through the glass dimly, part of God's story. But the ascended Lord Jesus has the ultimate lofty place at the right hand of the Father, and with a resurrected and glorified body, continually looks over the entire creation, which was made in him to begin with, and is in himself a down payment on the promise that we have of new bodies and a new heaven and a new earth. Moses died and was buried. Jesus lives and is the ultimate prophet. Moses got to see a little piece of the story, a little glimpse of part of God's creation. My goodness gracious, the Lord Jesus is ascended and is in the ultimate place of perspective. Yes? And he continually looks over the entirety of his own creation and is a promise for us that we get to go there too. Here's another one. Moses was an earthly prophet who died and was buried and brought many Jews through an exodus into the land of promise. Jesus is the ultimate prophet. The ascended Lord Jesus Christ died, but rose again, and by defeating death, brought about the supreme exodus and brought people of every tongue and tribe, as we already sang this morning, into the final land of promise. Do you remember the time that Moses shows up in the New Testament? You remember, where was it? The Mountain of Transfiguration. Jesus takes up three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. You remember Peter's part in the whole story. And there on that Mountain of Transfiguration, Jesus is transfigured before them. His clothes become white, whiter than anyone could possibly ever bleach them, Scripture says. And they're talking with Jesus are who? Elijah and Moses. And if you read Luke's account, oh, I love this. If you read Luke's account, we get to hear what they were talking about. Do you remember? Luke's account says that Jesus was talking with them about the exodus he was about to lead from Jerusalem. Jesus was talking to Moses about the exodus that he himself was about to lead. When he takes captivity captive and defeats death itself, and not just a handful of Jews get to go into a land of promise, but all who believe now get to enter into that good land. Oh my goodness, what a marvelous ascended Savior we have. Here's another one. Moses was the best earthly prophet who knew God intimately. Scripture says that God knew him face to face. Scholars talk about whether that really was all of God's glory. On the one hand, you remember the place where, and I think it was last week, wasn't it? We talked about it, where God hid him in the cleft of the rock. Moses had said, hey, I want to see all of you. God said, no, that wouldn't be wise. They're going to see my glory. Then there's another place where Moses and the elders of Israel go up the side of the mountain and make covenant with God. And it says that there they eat and drink and talk with God face to face. The thing that interests me about this, and I said it a moment ago, is that the knowledge seems to be emphasized that of God to Moses. God knew him face to face. Isn't that marvelous? God knew Moses intimately, but listen, the ascended Jesus is the ultimate prophet because he is God. Jesus, the ultimate prophet, is God who not only knows us intimately, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know him intimately as well. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, then your goose bumper is broken. The ascended Jesus is the ultimate prophet because he is God. And he not only knows us intimately, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know him intimately as well. Two more. Moses relayed the word of God to the people. One of, if not perhaps, the primary prophetic function that Moses has is that he takes God's word and he relays it to the people. In fact, there was a time, I'm sure there were more than one, that the people of Israel were really glad that Moses was there. Do you remember when they were near the mountain and they said, we can't handle this, in effect. No more of this. Moses, you go do the talking, for we cannot stand the presence of God. So it was Moses' job to take God's word and to deliver it to the people. Thus saith the Lord. That's part of what a prophet does. But the ascended Jesus is the Word. And as the ultimate prophet and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he interprets the Father to us. If you take a look at the beginning of John's Gospel, there's a marvelous word there. And it's where we get the word exegete. You're talking about exegesis of Scripture, drawing from Scripture. That's what we do when we exegete Scripture. John uses that word to say that Jesus exegetes the Father. Moses delivered God's word. Jesus is the word who delivers the Father. What a mighty God we serve. And finally, Moses was used by God to feed his people bread from heaven in the desert. Beloved, the ascended Jesus is the living bread, come down from heaven and feeds us with himself. Never before Jesus was there a prophet as great as Moses. One of the offices that Jesus holds even still in the heavenly places at the right hand of God the Father is ultimate prophet. How thankful I am we have him there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you send forth your Holy Spirit? And through your power, Holy Spirit, would we be connected to our ultimate high priest and prophet and king. Lord Jesus, give us eyes to see you standing in our presence in your resurrection glory. We give thanks that you are ever before us in the heavenly places. A down payment, a surety that we too will be there with you someday. Until then, ultimate prophet, we give you thanks that you did not die and remain in the grave, but you defeated death itself and went over into that land of promise in order to execute the most amazing exodus of all time. As we come to the table, now, Lord Jesus, would you feed us with yourself? We long to see you and be with you, even see you face to face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.